Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Remember, I told you my plan was that we're going to go to Colossians. I'm not so sure. I've had 3 weeks alone, and I was doing a particular study on the book of Luke, and I am still not 100% sure what we're doing after Philippians, but if you ask me during vacation, it was Luke. I was just having such a good time with Luke, and so I don't know, but I've got a few weeks to figure that out while I'm home, and we're going on vacation next week. Just kidding. Just, you guys are just like, what? I knew it. But it's good. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, let's just read this verse. It'll be the only verse that we'll read this morning. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to this church that has joy. They're known for joy. And he says this. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Title of the message this morning, how are you doing? I want you to think about this when the next time someone says, Clay, how you doing? It's an interesting phrase, is it not? And the Bible talks about the doing is what defines us. The doing is what will strengthen us. I want you to be clear. We are not saved. We're not going to heaven, but by the grace of God. It's not by what we do. We simply put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saves us from our sins. It's because of what he did. But what follows faith in Christ is a life of doing. And so just turn over, if you would, to Luke. So I've got a few references from Luke this morning. Luke chapter 8. I want you to look at Luke chapter 8 as we think about this. How are you doing? The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. As you're turning to Luke chapter 8, I want to tell you what I believe this verse. I believe this verse is correctly translated, which every other translation, I don't think there's any other translation except the King James Bible that says, which strengtheneth me. Now, to be clear, the Greek word can also be translated who, but 85% it's translated which. And I want you to understand this Greek word, it means this, that, or these. Jesus isn't a this, Jesus isn't a that, and Jesus isn't a these. Now I want you to understand that in my weakness, Christ is made strong, that I am strong in Christ. So I'm not denying that truth, I'm not denying that teaching. I believe what Philippians 4:13, it's not going to be the emphasis of my message this morning, but I believe the emphasis of Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ, and doing all things through Christ will strengthen me. I hope you understand that. It is thinking about working out will not give you muscles. I've always said this. If it would, I would be bigger than I am. If thinking about losing weight would cause you to lose weight, I would not have gained weight on vacation. So that's why I tan, so hopefully you can't tell it as much from vacation. But I want you to understand this. It's the doing that strengthens. It's the opposite of what we might think, right? It's when you want to exercise, you push yourself and you tear your muscles so that you then will be stronger. You push yourself and you get stronger. You know this, if you sit, you'll become weaker. It's the same concept within Christianity. I can do all things through Christ, and that doing will strengthen me. I want to tell you, people say this sometimes, they'll say, you know, you need to take a day off. Nobody is saying this now that I took 3 weeks vacation. They're like, buddy, you know, but no one's saying that either. I'm just kidding. But it's understand this, my favorite day of the week is Sunday. It's not because I get all the attention and I get to preach. I love preaching the Word of God. But I will tell you, I am invigorated. There are times I can go home on Sunday night and I'm tired, but it could be a physical tired, but I'm spiritually strengthened. I'm spiritually ready. I am spiritually encouraged. I loved our Sunday school lesson this morning. Just the pondering of the Lordship of Christ. It encourages me. It strengthens me. And then what will strengthen me even more is the doing. Is the obeying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 19. Luke chapter 8, verse 19. We're going to read just a few verses here. It says, then came to him, to Jesus, his mother and his brethren, Luke 8, 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. So Jesus was just being surrounded by people in verse 20. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. Hey, your mom and brothers and sisters want to talk to you. Verse 21. And he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word and do it. Look over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 27. Luke chapter 11, verse 27. Jesus gave this great spiritual picture. His mom and his brothers and sisters needed to talk to him, wanted to talk to him. And he said, those that are my true brothers and sisters, those that I'm truly related to, are those that hear the word and do it. Remember, we see in James that it says, be not hearers only, but be doers of the word. Luke chapter 11, verse 27 says this. And it came to pass, Luke 11, 27, and it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus, over and over again, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Understand this. Obedience and the keeping of God's commandments is not what gets us to heaven. It is not what keeps us saved. It is an evidence, it is a fruit of a true believer that there will be increased obedience, that there'll be increased love for our Savior. When we are born again, when we're saved, we are babes in Christ. We're little babies. We just need to get some of the sincere milk of the word, and then as we grow in the Lord, in the knowledge and in the doing. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you're feeling weak spiritually, I want you to ask yourself, how are you doing? Or what are you doing? You understand this, it is spiritual maturity, spiritual strength does not come just by hearing preaching. It does not come simply by studying the Word of God. Hearing preaching is good. Studying the Word of God is excellent. Those are some of the excellent things we'll talk about. But it's the doing of what God tells us. So when I was working on this message, I was going to just search the Scriptures and say, what does God want us to do? Here's what I decided to do. I thought, well, it'd be great review for us just to look at the book of Philippians. Let's look at the book of Philippians and see what Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would tell us that we should be doing. Now, before we do that, a couple of things. One, if you're lost this morning, this will be a great review for you because it also says this. Okay, nobody wants to go to hell. And so if I presented Jesus Christ like this, it would be, if I presented him like this, say, hey, do you want to go to hell when you die? I've met one or two smart looks in my life that would say they want to go to hell, but that's the vast exception. I don't think that's how we should represent the gospel. Hey, do you want to avoid hell? It's clearly a great fringe benefit. But it's about Jesus Christ. We must lift up Christ. We must lift up his glory, his honor. And so if I said, hey, Do you want to go to hell when you die? Everybody would say no. And if I just then simply said, well, then just repeat this prayer and mean it in your heart and you'll go to heaven. There's tons of people walking around the face of the earth that they said a prayer. They did what some spiritual person told them to do and they think, check the box. Well, I want to tell you that salvation is simple. It's not complicated. It is complete faith. Complete surrender. What I mean by that is You totally give yourself, your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You surrender to Him, as we talked in Sunday school, as your master, as your Lord, and He does the changing. When you are saved, when you're truly born again, Jesus does the changing. Yes, there is involvement with us in the disciplines of Christianity, but Jesus will change you. So many people think they need to do the changing before they get saved. No, put your faith and trust in Christ and follow Him in simple obedience, and He will change you. He's still working on me. My daughter-in-law, my newest, I guess my only daughter-in-law, I was going to say the newest in the family. So my son-in-law said he was working on staying the favorite son-in-law in the family, and I had to think about that for a second. I was like, hey, you're the favorite and the least liked. But he's the only son-in-law I have. So we just got a daughter-in-law about a year ago. So this was the first time she spent vacation with us. I kind of have one rule as a pastor. I usually don't want to play games with people at church. And so some of you, because one, you guys are going to lose a lot. But just, no. But I love playing games. So when we're on vacation, right, we play a lot of games, right? When I'm not reading, here's my vacation. It's just no. Reading, sleeping, playing games, eating, reading, playing games. You know, and so I just summed up my vacation, right? So we play a lot of games. I'm telling you, I had to tell her. I said, hang in there. I'm not nearly as intense. So we probably need to do a vacation where we don't bring games, right? And so anyway, but she was getting to know me, but. The reason I brought that up is the Lord's still working on me. And I really believe this. He's still changing me. He's going to conform me to the image of His Son. That's a guarantee. I have to die for it to be final. But He's still working on me today, and I love that. I will never give in and say, well, that's just the way I am. No, by God's grace, I'll be a different man a year from now. And I hope it'll be more Christ-like and less about me and more about Him. And so I want you to know that when He saves you, He'll do the changing, right? So for those that are lost or you're not sure you're saved this morning, this will give you an overview. This will give you a perspective. Well, what's Christianity about? Because I fear that if you watch the average Christian and you watch the average person that says, I'm a Christian, in the South, it's kind of amazing. I mean, churches are packed with 20-somethings. And yet, I'm just trying to see what impact are they having on their community. I read another biography. I love Hudson Taylor. I will tell you every book you can get on Hudson Taylor. I read a book about his first wife that he was married to for 12 and a half years before she passed away. Hudson Taylor was one of the pioneering missionaries to China. And this book was about the love story of his wife, Maria. And it was grand, but there was such an apathy. Hudson Taylor was mid-19th century, about 1850, so if you can think about that. But there was such apathy in England. England was the power of the day. They ruled the world. Their fingers, the sun never set on the English kingdom. And it was still at its height in the mid-19th century. And so it was, he would make a plea to the folks. He said, you would go to churches. And he said, one time he left a church, he was so overwhelmed before he surrendered to the mission field. He was so overwhelmed by the burden that he had to leave the service and he just went out to the beach. It was near a beach and wept. He said, there wasn't one soul on the beach. He said, every person in that town, every person in most towns, they were packed. The churches were packed. And yet, he would go make a plea for the lost and dying. About mid-19th century, 1850, there were about 400 million Chinese. Most had never, ever heard the gospel, still very similar to today. But he would make this plea. He went to a Bible conference and he asked them, he said, can I share my burden about the Chinese? He ended up creating a saying where 1 million die a day. And so he would try to trumpet that. But when he said, I want to share my burden about Chinese, he said, young man, this conference is about spiritual edification, not about a burden for the lost. Well, they let him pray, and he was a simple man, but his prayer was so impactful that they let him speak the next day, and he stirred the conference, and God then began to use that. Here's my point is when God saves you, he changes you. And so he'll change your heart, he'll change your desires, but I fear many times, I've thought about this, is I don't want a church that just has every chair filled. Oh, I want to preach to more people. I do, but what I want by God's grace is I want Hudson Taylors. I need to be a Hudson Taylor first. I want a people that we are soldiers, both male and female, that we understand why we're here and we understand the whole plan of God and that it is that we live for Christ and tell others about Jesus Christ. So for those of you say, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Well, this will tell you in kind of an overview, do what? So the final thing before I get into this little piece of paper. And this little piece of paper, if it didn't have the typo. So I'm so bummed about this little typo on this. I was going to suggest that you would keep in your Bible so that it would be fresh with you. You would find this little piece of paper in your Bible, and you might occasionally look at it and say, am I doing these things? Because what you're going to see as we review the book of Philippians, the things that Paul wanted them to do, the things that Paul, through the Holy Spirit, was commanding the church at Philippi to do, it's foreign to us. If you looked at our average to-do list today, if you looked at our average calendar today, this is not what our lives are about. And so when I say this, one more thing before we get to that. And if I cough today, don't worry, I just have a... No, I'm not going to make a joke. But it's because my voice, I can already tell when I was singing. I was like, oh no, here we go. And my voice is strong when I preach, but when I take a vacation, every time I come back from vacation, I will almost not be able to speak after tonight. So tonight I'll speak 1 minute shorter than I normally would. So be encouraged, come again tonight. So I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I want you to understand this. This doesn't mean that, want to play in the NBA? You can do it. You know, I really get tired of stupid commercials. You can be whatever you want to be. No, you can't. Right? I mean, parents, you need to help your kids, right? And help them be focused on eternal things. And just, if your kid's terrible at something, just tell them. You're not good at that, and you're probably never going to be good at that, so forget it. Be nicer than I would be about it. But I can do all things through Christ. I want you to know this. When God commands it, you can do it. Great difficulty. It takes a love for Christ and a discipline for Christ, but we can overcome sin. I didn't say we'd ever be perfect and we'd ever attain until we leave this body, but I want you to know this. When God commands it, you can do it. So I can do all things through Christ. It is everything that Jesus wants you to do. You can do it. And I want you to be encouraged with that. Next week, the message that I'll preach is we're going to look at the common excuses of Christianity. We're going to look at some people in the Bible and find the common excuses of Christianity and find out this. What was the response of God? What was the solution for God? Because generally, the response from Christians is, I can't. Well, here's the good news. You can't be Steve Hall. You know why? There's only one Steve Hall. There's only one Caleb Alma, right? So understand this. Stop comparing yourself to other people. And there's a lot of benefits by not being Steve Hall. And the church said, be quiet. But I want you to know this. I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to listen to yourself. I want you to listen to yourself. When you know you should share the gospel with that person and those little voices say they don't want to hear it, you can't. I want to tell you, you can. They will listen. And if they don't, You love them, you be kind, and then you take the gospel to the next person. So now let's just look at this, and I can do all things through Christ. Let's see what the things are that the book of Philippians. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. This is not an exhaustive list from Philippians, so you can find more things, but I tried to capture some of the key elements of what Paul, through the Holy Spirit, would instruct us to do. Look at this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And Paul said this, "And this I pray," talking to the church of Philippi, "that your love may abound yet more in more in knowledge and in all judgment." First thing you'll see in your notes there. Do what? Have abounding love. Here's what abounding love. When I think about that, you think of abounding love, you kind of think of a toddler that just never sits and just full of energy. Abounding love, love is where we are giving ourselves to others. I can have abounding love. I can be a lover of people. I can have abounding love. Look at verse 10. He says this, what? He says, "That you may prove things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Approving things that are excellent. I'm just telling you, there are a million distractions for you and I, Christian. I'm telling you, I have no idea. It doesn't even make sense to list them. I read another book on vacation just talking about living simply. I am coming back, and I am by God's grace, I've asked the Lord to help me with this. Here's what I want my life to be about. I want it to be, I want just focus on the things of Christ. I want to increase my prayer time. I want to increase my time in the Word of God. And that's probably the least issue I have today, not because I'm a great guy, just because I'm a pastor and I have a lot of Bible studies, but I want to increase my time in prayer. I want to increase my time in Bible study. I want to increase my time pursuing people. I will tell you this. I think if I find that I can't discipline it, I'm going to put a clock on my desk. And I want to be on the internet for no purpose less than 30 minutes a day. And so every time I am on there, if I have an issue, I ought to start it. I think what we'll find is we fritter time away. And that includes on our phone. I don't want to be distracted by my phone. I don't want to be distracted by some stupid game. I don't want to be distracted by just some stupid whatever. You know what's amazing is they have, and we don't watch television, but when we're on vacation, we do seem to watch more television, like, you know, HGTV, Property Brothers, or something like that. So I even though I can't fix anything, I feel like I can after vacation all the time. But I want to tell you, here's the amazing thing that I find. If you like something, you can waste your life watching Property Brothers until Jesus comes home. If you find something that is not, you know, morally objectionable, you can waste your life and stream it until the cows come home. And it's not necessarily morally wrong, but it's absolutely a moral waste of your life. It's not approving things that are excellent. And so I can do all things through Christ. And I want to tell you this, I expect to be stronger. I expect that when I do the things that God wants me to do, that I'll be stronger. That may mean He tests me more. When you read some of these biographies, I read another one of William Carey, since I so butchered him right before I left on vacation. So I said, I need to take another book about William Carey. So I'm up to date with William Carey. Ask me. And so I read another book about William Carey, Hudson Taylor, some of these great missionaries. And they suffered greatly. It was 8 days. So William Carey's wife, Maria, she died after 12 and a half years. A great servant of the Lord. And he also had a medical background as well. And he knew she was dying. 8 days before his wife died, they had a newborn baby die. But they served the Lord. They were attacked many times in cities, but they served the Lord. Reading his response was so encouraging to me for two reasons. One is, I need to have that mindset. When trouble comes, it's not because God's displeased. When trouble comes, it may be because God's going to use it in great ways. They were in a missionary compound, and they had just, not even a compound, but they had just established this place where they were going to minister out of into this inland place in China. And false rumors began to spread, and their home was attacked. and they escaped barely, and everything was burnt to the ground. They went back, and they said this was their spirit. They said, well, either God wants us to go home, he's talking about death, or that God's going to use this to tenderize the people for his honor and his glory, and he's going to save a multitude of people. It was one of the greatest results that they'd ever had after they suffered. They went back into that city, and the people were shocked that they came back with their family and children. And so I want you to understand this. It means that when we approve things that are excellent and when we get stronger, we will be able to glorify God more. So I want you to understand this. When you do the things that God will have you to do, that very well may mean more suffering. But I want to tell you this. You think Hudson Taylor regrets that today? Mm-hmm. He's been in heaven more than 150 years. And I don't think they count it that way when they get to heaven. It's not like he's like, hey, happy birthday. It's been 150 years in heaven. He's there eternally. No regrets. Look over, if you would, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. So have abounding love. Love that people just see you. Have abounding love. Approve things that are excellent. Look at chapter 1, verse 27. He says, only let your conversation, that word would mean life, only let your life or conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else absent, I may hear of your affairs. Be gospel focused. Everything about us needs to be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every single person we meet, every single person we interact with, when we are thinking of things that are excellent, when we are thinking of things that are eternal, it is that we will be gospel focused. I'm praying to God that I will be more gospel focused. I review all the times. One of the things I do when I'm on vacation, I review. Why am I doing what I'm doing? You should ask the same question. Why do you do what you do? And I love pastoring. But I tell you this, I want to see more people saved. I want to see more people know Christ. And that means I need to cast more seed. I beg God during these 3 weeks, oh God, give us souls, and it keeps coming back to me, then plant more seed. I'm going to begin to pray every day of my life by God's grace, oh Lord, would you give more laborers, because the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Will you be a laborer? Will you be a person that will be burdened about the lost? Will you be a person that each and every week, each and every day, you will ask God for an opportunity to share the gospel with a lost and dying world? Will you ask God that he might give you a spiritual baby? Will you, as it says in verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ? I read a number of books about missionaries and their burden, their passion, their willingness to give up all for the salvation of a people they didn't know. Christian, I want to tell you this. God saved us so that we would lift up Christ. God saved us so we could tell other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll pick up the pace. Look at this in verse 27. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Here's what I want. Here, this would be so important for us, and we have harmony here, and I'm thankful for that. We need to serve with harmony. I want to tell you this. Here's what I want. I want Hope Baptist Church to be a place where we are burdened for souls, but we will have harmony. Do you know this? The devil will try to split us. He will try to divide us with stupid things. I couldn't tell you what the stupid things are going to be, but anything that'll split a church, normally it's stupid. It's never, very rarely, over substance. It's dumb things. Don't let dumb things get in the way of you and somebody else. Don't let dumb things create a division within our church. Let's all be focused on this, because I think we all wholeheartedly agree with this, right? Hope Baptist Church is here that we might proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world. Would we agree with that? Amen. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about bringing him glory. It's all about bringing him honor. But I will tell you this, telling his story to the people is what God would have us to do. And I will tell you, don't let anything else distract us. Is that we would serve with harmony. Look at verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Serve without fear. God says this: if you are being attacked by the enemy, that's evidence that you're a Christian. If you're being attacked, he says this. See them, verse 28? He says, in nothing terrified by your adversaries. For them, he's saying, which is evident token of perdition. He's saying, for them, that's evidence that they are going to hell. That's what he's saying there. But to you, when they attack you, he says, to you of salvation and that of God. Make sure it's not your personality that causes people to attack you, but make sure it's just the simple gospel of Jesus Christ that you're sharing with folks, and serve without fear. Fear is a great destroyer, is it not? Fear is destroying our country as we see it today, is it not? And so, Christians, what we have to do, we have to get on our knees every day, and we have to surrender to the Lord and give him our fears and serve without fears. Look at chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. These are the things. Do what? Let's have abounding love. Let's approve things that are excellent. Let's be gospel focused. Let's serve with harmony. Serve without fear. Chapter 2, verse 2. It says, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Put others first. So difficult. Put others first. Put your wife first. Put your husband first. Put the Lord first. Put others first. You know, the Lord's even convicted me, right? So even on vacation, is my wife in here? She is in the nursery. She's right there. If she's in the nursery, oh boy, we'd have a good time. But, did you notice that I was helping in the kitchen more? God convicted me, you know, on vacation about just putting the dishes in the dishwasher. I've been such a lousy husband that when I put the dishes in the dishwasher, she's like, the Lord's coming back today. And you know what I've determined? You know why I never put the dishes in the dishwasher? Selfishness. You know why I didn't put the dishes in the dishwasher? I had stupid other things that I was running to do that didn't really matter. There might be a time I won't, but I will tell you this. God just was convicted me. She would fix breakfast because I'm never going to cook. I mean, I can fix a mean bologna sandwich if you want one, but all it's going to have is bread, bologna, and cheese and mustard. But if that's mean, that's mean. That's all when people told me when I grew up, you're full of bologna, I said, well, who isn't? But thank you for at least laughing. I've told that joke too many times. But, you know, I just want to tell you just the simple things. Put others first. And so, you know, I know putting the, I will tell you this. I'm going to serve my wife. She's acts of service, right? And you know what? I can put the dishes in the dishwasher. I can sweep the kitchen floor. I can take the garbage out. It's not a competition by going, when is she going to take the garbage out? And you walk by it again. Oh, man, the garbage is really full. Just take the garbage out. Take the garbage out. Clean your room. Do what's right. You know why? Put others first. In the simple things of life. I know this. When I get to heaven, God's not going to say, and here is the crown of putting your dishes in the dishwasher. Oh, well, you know this, though? If I'm going to be a Christian, I need to be a Christian publicly and privately. And you know this? I need to love my wife. I need to not take advantage of her. And if putting the dishes in the dishwasher is important, I'm going to do it. I'm going to clean up. She made breakfast, and you know what I told her? I think she about had a heart attack. I said, I'll clean up the dishes. And, I passed out, and so I got her too, and but I want to do that. You know why? If I want to be a Christian, Caleb, I need to put others first. That's what the Bible would tell me. I can do it. I can be a different man. I can change. Through Christ, I can do it. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. This is difficult. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. His mind was humble. His mind was a mind that did not demand. Look at this. He says in verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. You want to have the mind of Christ? humility. You want to have the mind of Christ? Serve. Serve others. Put others first. That's, I can do it. I can do all things. If we live life normally, we'll live life selfishly. But we need to live life supernaturally so that we can do those things through Christ. Look at verse 12, chapter 2, verse 12. I'm going to try to get through these quickly, and maybe I won't get through them all, and I might finish next week. Look at chapter 2, verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure." It's, you know this, make sure you're saved. You know what's amazing to me? The average person that says they're a Christian, they never examine themselves. They never say, am I a Christian? They never spend any time to say, does what the Bible describes as a Christian, is that me? I want to tell you this, it's for all eternity. You can do all things through Christ. One of the things that Paul tells him, he says, work out your own salvation. That's not working for it, but it's working it out. Are you truly saved? So many people, when I ask them, I'll say, how do you know that you're saved? Blank stare. And they really don't have much of a response. How do you know you're going to heaven? Most people, you know, if they knew the gospel, they could at least say, I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. My next question, how do you know you believed? Well, there ought to be evidence. So I want you to know this. We'll finish the message with this part next week. But I'm also going to go into my brother-in-law and my wife. Title of the message next week is Yes, You Can. And it's from my father-in-law. I'll explain the text of it next week. Here's what I want you to understand today. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Here's the thing. You see this list? I'll finish it next week. But you see this list? This wasn't like, where's your job? Where's your job there, David? It doesn't mention your job, does it? You know why Jesus told us this? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Your clothing, your shelter, your food. And so you know what, really? Your job. You need to be great at your job. I think every Christian ought to be the hardest worker. But you know what dominates us in life? It's our jobs. We spend our lives and we spend our time, and it's all about work. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I want you to ponder this. I'll close with this. Maybe there's just one item on this list. You can't focus on all of them at once. Maybe it's just one. Keep it in your Bible. Ponder it. I can do all things through Christ. I want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, that is the question, isn't it? Do you want to? Do you want to honor Jesus? Then do it with what you do. How are you doing? What are you doing to honor Christ? Let's pray.